The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. Not just any Saturday either, it's Super Saturday in the racing world. Top class racing from Newmarket, York, Ascot and Chester in the afternoon, Hamilton and Salisbury in the evening, and the Irish Oaks over at the Curra as well. The card at Newmarket is day three of the July Festival, including the July Cup. We've got big racing at York as well, the John Smith's Cup there feature, and a Group 2 in the shape of the Summer Mile Stakes at Ascot. So real good stuff to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Kevin O'Malley. How are you, Kev?
Hi, Mark. How are we doing?
All right, mate. All right. Not too bad. Real good Saturday coming up before we have a little bit of a chat about some of the stuff. But Super Saturday, I've heard people criticise it in the past, saying there's too much in one go. I mean, how can there be too much good stuff when it's as good as this?
It's all televised, isn't it?
Yes.
We're going to see it all. So, yeah, put your feet up. Or if you're not going racing, you can put your feet up and enjoy it all throughout the day. And, you know, it's just one of those days to sit back and enjoy. And if you fancy a few horses, get stuck in. Yeah, so something for everyone on Super Saturday. You know, I think there is an argument that there might be one or two too many meetings, but I'm not here to moan about that kind of stuff.
No, I'm going to enjoy it rather than moan about it. The July Cup looks a real good renewal. Obviously, the John Smith's Cup at York is very competitive, and we've got the small matter of the Irish Oaks as well. Classic action over the Irish Sea, where we get to see Enable in action once more. So we'll move on to that shortly. I suppose it'd be remiss of us not to talk about day one of the July Festival whilst we have a chance. What stood out to you at Newmarket on Thursday?
Well, I put up Raheen House when I was on air yesterday, and I thought there was an awful lot to like about the way he grounded out and got the better of Desert Skyline and Sophia's Rock, who bounced back to form in third place. You know, I think they're talking about the St. Ledger for Raheen House on the back of that. He's a solid animal. Interesting to see where he goes from here. It was nice to see Card Sharp put his experience to good use in the July Stakes as well. That was a solid performance. And, you know, how can you not like Hawkbill? I mean, he's just a tremendous performer. A little bit of question marks about his stamina before this season, but he's won twice now over a mile and four, and he got a run of things, and Frontiersman just couldn't go by him. And it was a really interesting race there up the home straight. I think today's action and certainly Saturday's action is going to be a little bit more classy fare, but it was a solid start to the July meeting for sure.
Yeah. What do you make of Frontiersman? Because he came looking like he was going to win the race, and he hung again in the closing stage. That's the second time we've seen him do that.
You know, he has the ability, doesn't he? You know, what is it? Does he need a pair of cheek pieces? It's hard to know exactly what he needs.
Yeah, he had the cheek pieces on for the first time.
Yeah, right. So it's a funny one. He just has a little bit of a quirk, doesn't he? It might be that it's just the way he is, or he needs more experience, but he's a quality animal, and, you know, getting past Hawkbill, who had the run of the race, is a very difficult task, and on the day, he just couldn't do it, unfortunately.
1-2 for Godolphin in that race. Not so long ago, we were talking about a crisis at Godolphin, but it seemed to be banging out the window.
I've always been sitting on the fence with that one, because Godolphin, throughout their ranks, have had a tremendous season, so all the noise in the background has never really bothered me too much, because they've had loads of winners and they've got loads of quality within their ranks as well. Not so much by way of classic success, which is very important, of course, but there's no denying the formidable force that Godolphin continue to be.
Yeah. Right, let's get stuck into Saturday's action then. That's a little bit of a look back on day one of the July meeting. We finish with a bang on the Saturday on day three. If you want to see the thoughts of Sir Anthony McCoy on all of the races at Newmarket and some of the other big stuff on Saturday, go to williamhill.com, click on the horse racing pages there. You'll see his previews on the right hand side, and you can also find them on Twitter as well, at William Hill, if you want to follow Sir Anthony McCoy in on Saturday. We're going to get the thoughts of Kevin in the studio on this podcast though, and we start at York in the 3R5, the 58th John Smith's Cup handicap, a mile and a quarter the trip, and 20 runners charging down the Knavesmire. It's quite a sight to see, and the betting at this point is headed by 60's Groove, who's 7-1 at the top of the market, just nudged out from 6's as well, so possibly not the strongest in the market. Ballet Concerto is 8-1, 9-1 Victory Bond, 10-1 for Big Country and UAE Prince, 12-1 Majid, Scarlet Dragon is 14's with Snow and Master Carpenter, 16 16-1 Central Square, along with Bravery, Another Touch and Garcia, and then 20-1 are bigger prices for the others. As open as you'd expect, 7-1 the field, anything can win. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I've picked out kind of four horses to note here, starting with the top weight, Scarlet Dragon, Mark, who was a course and distance winner here last year, looked a progressive sort, and now is on a rating of 109, carrying top weight here. Ran an absolute blinder in the Wolferton last time out when making his challenge widest of all. The race obviously produced a very good time, as you'd expect from a top handicap at Royal Ascot, and it was a really solid return to action after a break. So Scarlet Dragon is unlikely to be far away, but he does have a big weight. Victory Bond is a very interesting one on paper. He's unexposed. William Haggis trained horse. Certainly left room for improvement when third here last time out. He's a potential plot horse and he has to be respected. Ballet Concerto, you mentioned at 8-1. He's a solid performer. You know, he's got a lot of talent. He's up in trip here and that could suit him, but still he does have a little bit of stamina to prove right at the business end when the going gets really tough. Despite the fact that 60s Groove has drifted out, I do think he's the most intriguing horse in the field. He's a very tricky customer, but he's ran very eye-catching races in his last two races in June, including over a mile and four last time out at Royal Ascot in the Duke of Edinburgh Stakes. The drop in trip, I think, is going to suit him here. You know I do like horses that are dropping in trip, and I think a strongly run mile and two is going to suit. The booking of Gerard Mosse, of course, catches the eye as well. I think he'll really, really suit this horse. He could just get the best out of him. He's nicely weighted and he's an intriguing contender, so 60s Groove would be my selection in the John Smith Cup.
60s Groove then for Kevin there in the John Smith's Cup, seeing that Master Carpenter's going back for another go at it as well, and James Millman's in the studio on Saturday, so tune in to hear his thoughts on his father's runner. Let's move on to Newmarket next. We're going to look at day three, a couple of races on day three of the July Festival. The first of them is the Bunbury Cup, which is a handicap over 7 furlongs, a class 2 event, and once again a wide open event with 20 runners set to take their place in the lineup, and Tash Week is the favourite here at 11-2 at the time of recording this. Flaming Spear is 6-1, 8-1 Steady Pace, Gossiping 8-1 as well, 12-1 for both Mutawathia and Above the Rest, 14-1 Tabarak, Bossy Guest and Donica, and then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Similar story really, wide open handicap.
Yeah, indeed. Just to mention a few of them, Gossiping, he's really well bred, he started to come into his own in recent times, he comes here on a hat trick, so on paper at least he comes here in some of the best form you'll find in the race. This is a lot tougher than he's experienced before, but he has to be respected for Gary Moore. Flaming Spear, it was a superb effort when he was last seen back in January at Newcastle. He met all sorts of adversity in running, but managed to get up on the line to win, and it was quite a taking performance. But he's a promising sort, but that time off since January has to be a little bit of a concern given the demands of this race. So my eye is taken towards Tash Week, we mentioned there at the top of the market. He was 66-1 third in the Royal Hunt Cup, but there was nothing fluky about the effort despite going off quite a big price. The race produced it, you know, again a really fast time as you'd expect. I think the drop back to 7 furlongs is going to be a big positive in my view, because both of his career wins have came at that trip. He's been beaten 3 times over 7 furlongs, but that was on soft ground in a maiden, a very good maiden in fact, and he's been beaten twice over 7 in Group 1 company when running with credit on both occasions. He's just a very good horse. He represents a top yard. He's got a champion jockey booked to ride, and I think Tash Week is set to go very close here.
Tash Week then, the selection for Kevin in the Bunbury Cup. The big race at Newmarket on Saturday is the July Cup, 6 furlong Group 1, part of the British Champion Series and Global Sprint Challenge. And what a renewal we have as well.
Caravaggio, isn't it?
The favourites at Even Money. Limato 5-1, The Tin Man 6-1, Harry Angel 6-1 as well, Tazlite 8, 16s for Brando, and 40-1 or bigger prices for the others. You've got the unbeaten 3-year-old in Caravaggio. You've got the horse that finished second to him last time in Harry Angel. You've got the Diamond Jubilee winner in the shape of The Tin Man. You've got last year's July Cup winner in Limato.
Indeed.
Then you've got the likes of Brando at bigger prices that's been talked about earlier on in the week. It's just some renewal.
Yeah, I mean, you've always got those kind of outsiders in sprint races that are just really solid animals. Brando certainly fits that bill to keep them all honest at the top of the market, but to be honest I think class is going to come to the fore here, isn't it? Limato, really impressive winner in this race last year when he beat quite Reflection and Suedo. It was a solid effort in the Diamond Jubilee. I just can't help but feel that he might be vulnerable here. It's a slightly smaller field, it's a hotter race, a smaller field of better horses. I don't think there's much to choose between him, Tazlite and the Tin Man on their Ascot running. We know know how these sprinters take their turns to win. You know, what Limato's a very, very classy animal. He's just not one that I've warmed to terribly over the last couple of seasons. I think this could be between the three-year-olds again, Caravaggio and the Harry Angel. I just thought the way that Caravaggio picked up those two Godolphin horses, including Harry Angel in the Commonwealth Cup, when they both had first run on him, Blue Point and Harry Angel, two top-class three-year-old colts. There's no getting away from it. They both had first run on Caravaggio and he just mowed them down. He's 6 out of 6 now. He's a tremendous talent, Mark. I really think if he continues to go the way he's going, he'll go down as one of the great sprinters. And he's just impossible to oppose for me. I think Caravaggio's going to, he'll stalk him, and I think he'll just have too much for him, too much class, too much quality in the finish again.
Yeah. I'm talking to Ol earlier on in the week and he's not convinced by Caravaggio, but I'm completely the opposite. I think Caravaggio's something very special.
I think it's difficult to put a case across to not be convinced by him. Given the way that Commonwealth Cup ran out, you know, he didn't necessarily have the run of the race, and them two Godolphin horses had first run on him. They had every opportunity to go and, you know, fight it out between them, but Caravaggio, he was under pressure a furlong out. He had a lot of work on his hands, but when the last half furlong, that's when he really came into his own and he just quick and clear, and I thought it was hugely impressive. Obviously backed up on the clock as well. He's a very, very special talent. Obviously all of this depends on him maintaining his current level of form. They're only just horses, and as we see with Churchill at Royal Ascot, things happen, you know, they can run a flat race. But provided he maintains his current level of well-being, I just cannot see past the Caravaggio. I think he's a very special animal.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing from Royal Ascot as well. He looked in a little bit of trouble halfway. He wasn't travelling with quite the same zest that he does, and he was quite worked up down at the start as well in the stalls, and he still went and picked them up and went on to win.
And that's it, despite them having the first run in him as well. So, yeah, again, everything just points to a Caravaggio win, and him making it 7 from 7.
Really looking forward to seeing him in action in the July Cup on Saturday. Great renewal of the race, and you'll hear it all on William Hill Racing Radio, of course. Final race that we look at is the big race over in Ireland. It's the Irish Oaks, a fillies group one, over 1.5 miles, and we've got the Epsom Oaks winner at the top of the market here in the shape of Enable at 2-5, Rain Goddess 6-1, Coronet is 13-2, 14-1 Alluringly, 16-1 Naughty or Nice, and 25-1 or bigger prices for the remainder. It's hard to see past Enable if she reproduces that Oaks form, isn't it?
It is indeed. I mean, when I saw her win at Chester in the Cheshire Oaks, I thought she looked like a nice scopey filly with a bit of a future, but I didn't necessarily think of her as an Oaks horse. You know, my mind, along with plenty of others, was just drawn towards Rhododendron. But the manner in which she went about her business at Epsom, I mean, it was a superbly fast time as well. It was a real test of stamina that day. She won by 5 lengths. I just think she's all class, she's all stamina. There's no reason why she couldn't even progress a little bit more from that. I think the other fillies have got an awful lot in their hands, again, if she, you know, maintains her current level of form.
Yeah.
The dangers, Coronet, you know, she improved really nicely to win the Ribblesdale at Royal Ascot. She could progress again, but even allowing for a little bit more progression, she still has a lot of work in her hands to get the better of Enable. Rain Goddess, she's a solid animal. She's got lots of experience, but she does have stamina to prove here. She stepped up to 1.2 miles last time out and ran really well behind Nezwa in the Pretty Polly Stakes, but she was getting weight from Nezwa that day and she was readily put in her place. I don't think Nezwa would beat Enable over the same trip, so I'm just struggling to see past Enable. I know she's a short price. You know, that Enable Caravaggio double might be a nice little play tomorrow, you never know, but it's certainly Enable for me in the Irish Oaks too.
Who's most likely to follow home then? I suppose that's the question, maybe, to try and get a bit of value out of the race.
Yeah, I mean, I quite like, should be a big outsider here, Jim Bulger's runner, but Bonfassa, the number 3 horse, she'll be a huge price, but it wouldn't surprise me if she got into the frame. Alluringly has got lots of experience. She's a really quality filly as well. She could chase them home. Actually, I'll go with Alluringly to make it a 1-2. To follow home Enable. I'll put up Alluringly as the likely outsider to run a big race, but I think it's all about Enable here.
Yeah, Alluringly 14-1 in the market, but it does look all about Enable. I'm not completely
convinced.
I was going to say, no, it's the opposite of that. I'm almost convinced that we could see a John Gosden 1-2 in the Irish Oaks. I think Coronet's form last time.
Yeah, well, she's going to
pretty useful.
She's going to stay well, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's got Olivier Pellier on board, who was, you know, the, one of the finest big race jockeys around.
Yeah,
Coronet, yeah, she's a big talent. She does need to improve, Mark. That's for sure.
Yeah,
you know, she's got something like 12 pounds. You know, she'll probably need to improve a stone to get on terms with Enable. But it's not beyond. It's not beyond the realms of possibility, certainly for a John Gosden filly. Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to pin down what, who's going to fill the places, but
yeah,
Enable is the quality act in the field for sure.
Yeah, another one that really looking forward to seeing on Saturday. I could see some real superstars in action on Super Saturday.
Mm.
Thank you very much, Kev. Let's have a quick summary before you go. Let's confirm these selections then for Saturday.
The 3:05 at York, the John Smith's Cup. I'm going to go with 60s Groove to prove a little bit of a plot horse for Jeremy Nasida. In the 3:25 at Newmarket, the Bunbury Cup, I'm hoping that Tash Week can follow on from a really good third in the Royal Hunt Cup. The 4:35, the Darley July Cup, I think that Caravaggio is just going to show his class again. And finally, in the 5:55, the Darley Irish Oaks at the Curragh, I think Enable is the quality act in the field.
Superb. Thank you very much, Kevin. Good luck and enjoy on Saturday.
Thanks, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Kevin O'Malley on Saturday's racing. Then you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. James Millman, Andrew Mount and Craig Forsyth, the team in the studio. You don't want to miss any of this action. Day 3 of the July Festival at Newmarket, including a tremendous renewal of the July Cup. We've got good racing at York, including a mightily competitive John Smith's Cup. Good racing at Ascot as well. The Summer Mile is their feature. Chester alongside that. Hamilton and Salisbury in the evening. And if that wasn't enough, there's action over in Ireland. Classic action in Ireland, in fact, from the Curragh in the shape of the Irish Oaks. Plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.